And this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Chris Vandercook. Today's topic is a question about whether investment property should help fund our public schools, and we're inviting listeners to weigh in. The numbers to call are 941-3689 on Oahu, or 1-877-941-3689 from Neighbor Islands or anywhere else.
And this is Catherine Cruz. Joining us today in studio are Corey Rosenlee, president of the Hawaii State Teachers Association, and John Harris, incoming president of the Hawaii Association of Realtors. And Tom Yamachika, president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, is joining us by phone.
Welcome to all of you. And we're talking about SB 2922, which passed out of the Senate committee yesterday. The bill proposes amendments to Articles of Hawaii's Constitution. Corey, you're in favor of this idea, have been supporting it for a while?
You know, absolutely. We adjust for cost of living Hawaii as one of the lowest per pupil expenditures in the entire country. And this has devastating impacts. Right now, we have a teacher shortage in Hawaii of over 1,000 teachers. And that has grown just in the last year by 100 teachers. About one-third of all of our keiki every day go to school, and at least one of their teachers is not qualified. And every single year that we don't invest in our keiki has a devastating impact, not just to our future, you know, not just our keiki, but our economy as well.
The question being, you know, not so much do we need to invest in education as is this the way to do it? John?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I represent approximately 9,500 realtors in the state of Hawaii, but we also represent hundreds of thousands of homeowners. And some homeowners have an owner occupancy exemption and some don't for various reasons. We, of course, support education. We live and work in the same communities, healthier schools, strong schools that deliver, you know, better results with more qualified teachers is something I think we all agree on. And as they say, the devil's in the details. We're concerned that this particular method of revenue, raising revenue, may impact some people that are unintended. Not all investors, for instance, are from out of state. Not all of them are rich. In fact, I think if you kind of go through the details and look at who an investor really is, a non-owner occupant, you're going to see a lot of these are local families.
Tom Yamachika for the Tax Foundation of Hawaii is on the line. Tom, do you want to weigh in?
Well, what I thought I'd mention is that, you know, although, you know, we don't represent a particular constituency, you know, we're just a nonprofit that monitors, you know, progress on Hawaii state taxes. What we thought we could do is, you know, provide some perspective. And that is from the perspective of county government. Now, county government has basically one major revenue source, and that's the real property tax. Their objection to this particular bill has been, geez, you know, you're messing with our one major source of revenue. How are we going to, you know, if this disrupts our revenue stream, how are we going to fund our county? The mayor, for example, of the county of Hawaii, for example, you know, Mr. Harry Kim, he testified that a full 74% of their revenue is from property taxes, and they fear that it'd be devastating to them.
Right, and I know the county of Honolulu also had some reservations about that because, you know, it's kind of like a home rule thing. This has been their one thing that they rely on, and they're a little bit leery of what could develop once the lawmakers actually craft the details of the bill next year, should the voters agree to this.
Corey, of the Hawaii, president of the Hawaii State Teachers Association, you've obviously heard these objections. How do you approach them?
Well, let me take one by one on these ones. First of all, okay, Hawaii is the only state in the entire country that does not use property taxes to fund its schools. And this is why our schools are so underfunded to begin with. To answer the question, so look, first of all, if you own one home, you won't be paying this tax. You have to have an investor home. Second of all, the intent of the legislature and HSTA is if you own one home, you won't be paying this tax. If you own a second home, you won't be paying this tax. Only if you own a second home over $1 million. And the vast majority of these homes are owned by investors and speculators that have been driving up the cost of living for people in Hawaii. One-third of all property taxes in Hawaii are actually paid by non-residents. And I would encourage, you know, if you've ever looked at see what's going on in Kaka'ako right now, you know, an average apartment, they just had this new apartment building, and the average apartment was $3.5 million. Trump International sold out $700 million worth of property in one day. And if you have these people that can afford to spend millions of dollars on these properties, then they should be able to help the Keiki of Hawaii. This is not going after the renter. This is not going after the affordable homes. These are going after the people that have been driving up the cost of living so high in Hawaii that it's making difficult for the most of us to be able to afford a home in Hawaii. And it's doing it for the good reason we've got to find. This is not a novel approach. Every other state in the entire country uses property tax to fund schools, and it's time that in Hawaii we start doing that as well.
Let's bring in the perspective of a caller on the line. This is Mike from Kalihi. Mike, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
You bet.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, what is more important to our community than providing education to all of our children so that they can have opportunities and help themselves, help their families, help our community? To me, this is a no-brainer. I just don't understand this. It's just clear cut. And as the person just speaking said, every other state in the union does this, and the people that are going to pay the most of this here are these people who don't even live here but have tons of money. So I can't see why there's any real concern about doing this. It just makes so much sense.
Well, Mike, thanks for weighing in, and we want to invite listeners to weigh in as well by calling 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from Neighbor Islands. John Harris is the president-elect of the Hawaii Association of Realtors. What's your take on this?
Well, first thing, I'd ask a question about the significance of the $1 million level. I'd point to what's happened maybe 4-plus years ago in the city and county of Honolulu, which doesn't require an amendment to its constitution, its revised ordinances. The ordinances were amended to tackle a particular type of property called Residential A, which sounds very familiar. It's non-owner-occupant properties over $1 million. And it's been going back and forth in tax appeals court for several years. The non-prevailing party after this next phase will probably take it to intermediate appeals for the state, and it's a protracted battle. So whether or not this is actually going to deliver results if the voters do vote yes is questionable. But you know, that's a technicality. Let's humanize this a little bit more and talk about the people who might be affected. And okay, so we're not going to worry about the first people I talked about, which are maybe the local families that own these properties. What about the people who are renting properties, the 2-3-story apartment buildings that are all over? And I'm on Oahu, so I'm gonna talk about Oahu, but it's throughout the state. Places in Wahiawa, Waipahu, Makiki, all over the place. Those are, you know, frankly, those are valued well over $1 million because they're multi-unit properties. And the rents are gonna reflect this change if it goes through, and those people are gonna have to pay more. It'll be passed on just like many other taxes and surcharges are. So I'm worried about the health of affordable rentals because it's almost like an endangered species here on Oahu, especially.
And if I could just add to that, I mean, first of all, we're not going after multifamily homes, and there's ways to do exemptions in the legislature to do that. And there's not a lot of affordable homes that are going for $1 million. The reality is we, of course, do not want to go after people's rent. And I think that, unfortunately, there's going to be fear put out there that this is going to go after the people that are renting the homes, and it is not. We are looking for those, you know, investor properties. And look, go to Kaka'ako on any given night and look at some of these expensive apartment buildings and count how many lights are actually on in those apartment buildings. And the reality is they're not. It's dark. These are investments, property shells, that these corporations and billionaires are using to invest in Hawaii. And they do that partially because Hawaii has the lowest property tax rate in the entire country. And this makes it very attractive to investors because they know that their investments will go up. In the last 15 years, Hawaii's property has doubled for a home. And so can you imagine if we do not do anything to disincentivize this speculation? Try to imagine another 15 years that the average home price would be $1.5 million. And to the realtors, you know, I talked to a realtor, and I asked him what he felt about this bill. And you know what he said? He said, I've got kids in the public schools, too. I support this. And so, you know, I'm very curious to see if your members that have kids in the public schools, whether they, too, believe this is a good way to invest in their kids.
Now, Corey, I know there are folks that are concerned about the speculators. You know, we've had issues with vacation rentals and all of that. And the original bill included transit vacation rental, transit vacation industry, but that has since been changed. So this bill only specifically deals with investment property.
That's correct. The legislature said they already have that authority. So the only question that's going to be to the voters is whether they want to specifically look at these speculative properties.
And I recall, you know, when my son was in kindergarten at Wilson, you know, and he had a fabulous teacher, and that teacher, you know, remained in the system, you know, for more than 20 years and was a wonderful teacher. And you're concerned about retaining good teachers like that. And so you're hoping that this money will go to raise salaries, hopefully.
Absolutely. We have amazing teachers. I mean, my daughter is a ninth grader at Campbell High School. Unfortunately, she's not listening to this. If she is, she's in trouble. but she's got some great teachers. But I want to tell you that, you know, for the last 2 years, she went to Alima Intermediate. And in 2 years at Alima Intermediate, she had four long-term subs. And I went to, you know, the principal because I said, you know, my daughter doesn't have a science teacher. And I says, can't you find a science teacher? And he said, there are no science teachers left on the entire island. And I'll give you the statistic that came out a couple months ago. Nanakuli and Waianae, the complex area, they had 19 openings for special education teachers this year. They were only able to find one special education teacher that was qualified. And so our students, especially in our poor areas, every single year, year after year, they go to school and we don't have teachers for them. What does it say to our keiki when we say we're not willing to invest in them? What is a long-term impact when kids are dropping out of school? What's the long-term impact to society? It hurts their long-term income. It creates larger costs for society. Around the world, people know that one of the best things that you can do is invest in your future and invest in your children. And that's what we got to do with this amendment.
There's a caller on the line. I think this is a timely call. Jerry from Honolulu is asking for some clarification on what's being proposed. Jerry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
My question is this clarification in terms of, is this bill proposing transferring existing property tax money to the schools, or is it proposing increasing property tax on these investments?
I'm
proposing is a surcharge on public education. So right now the counties have the exclusive power over real property taxes, and the bill would allow the legislature to basically pile on top of that a surcharge that is supposed to go to public education. And I say supposed to because that really is something that you ought to look at in terms of, you know, right now you have, you know, $2 billion almost of general fund money going to the Department of Education. If the tax passes and they get additional funds, do you think, you know, realistically that the legislature is going to continue to send $2 million of general fund money to public education, or or are they going to say, well, geez, okay, I guess you guys got another funding source now, so some of that $2 billion can get directed elsewhere.
So that might go away, Tom, you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is let's be practical about this. If let's say you have, you know, $500 million being raised by this surcharge, and we know that it's going to go to public education, the big temptation is going to be, well, you know, we got $2 billion going to education now out of the general fund. Why don't we cut that down to $1.5 billion or $1.6 billion maybe? And because other priorities in the state are hurting. Other, you know, we need money for flood relief. We need, you know, money to help the poor. We need to get our homeless off the streets. You know, we have other priorities in the state. So what is going to prevent diversion of that type?
And so if I could answer that question, first of all, last year's bill, there was a specific line inside the enabling language at that time that would have said that they could not decrease the budget of the DOE and it had to go up with inflation. And so, you know, if the voters do support this and we have to go into the enabling language next year, I hope that Tom would join me and the rest of the public would join us by saying, no, the message we are sending to the legislature through this vote is that we want to increase funding for public education. And I think that we need to hold all of our legislators. In fact, the legislators have brought up this own concern that they do not want to decrease the DOE budget. So I think that that's going to be a job for all of us to hold them accountable. That if the voters say, look, we want to invest in education, we want to invest in our keiki, that you cannot decrease the budget. This is additional.
There's another caller on the line from Kona. Jake?
Hello.
Hi, Jake. Can you talk a little louder? I didn't hear you.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, I've agreed with all the comments from the people that I've heard in favor of the tax, and I appreciate the concern of the last caller and the response as far as I wouldn't want to see the property tax go up and then have them take the money away from education somewhere else. But I've lived in Kona since 1976, and I don't have any skin in the game. My kids are grown up. But I think we need to fund much more funding for education, and I'm very disappointed in the underpayment of our teachers and the statistics that I've just heard mentioned about them not being able to find teachers or even one science teacher. It's terrible.
Jake, thanks for weighing in.
I have a question for Tom. I know we were chatting earlier. You had concerns just about the policy of this change. You had mentioned that years ago we had the TAT established, and it was raised, I think, to help pay for the convention center. And the convention center is built, but we're still using the money, and we're still taxing the resort folks.
Yeah, I think the concern is once a tax is authorized, it takes on a life of its own. And the example that I was trying to give was, you know, we enacted the transient accommodations tax back in 1986. You know, at that point, what everybody was saying was, geez, this is going to be temporary. It's only, you know, to fund the building of the convention center. And, you know, it's a 5% tax, so let's keep it at 5%. And then, you know, fast forward to a few years later, not only is the tax now being used for, you know, way more other purposes than the convention center, because the convention center is fully built. The debt's paid off in terms of the bonds that were issued to build it. Not only is the tax permanent, but it's now 10.25%, where it used to be 5%. So, you know, these things kind of tend to take a life of their own.
That's back to the whole idea of unintended consequences, John, that we were talking about earlier, yeah?
Yes. One of the things that we need to kind of weigh in on is, and I can totally appreciate that the intent of this is not to go after homeowners who are exempt from, you know, who have a homeowner's exemption, but not certain owners may not have an exemption, but they may still be living in the property. They may have transferred the property into a family limited partnership. There are lots of other things I'm concerned about, and we're concerned about how these properties are going to be singled out, what that threshold is going to be. Is it a million? I mean, March last month, the average sales price of a single family home on Oahu was, guess what? $1,002,350. And as Casey had said, you know, we're seeing prices increase. And part of that is from perhaps speculation. I think a lot of it is coming from demand that is not, you know, being met by supply. We haven't built homes here to even match the population growth, natural population growth, since the end of World War II. So they're just like everything else. Of course, we want to support the children. We want to support the keiki. We want to support the schools. We want better schools. We live and work in those communities. So this is a no-brainer as far as our alignment. But that doesn't make up for bad policy. And this is how we feel about this, that we're attempting to single out a certain sector of property owner. And if this passes, then it's up to the legislature to hopefully do the right thing. And I've seen a lot of times where the legislature or the executive hasn't done the right thing, like raiding the hurricane relief fund. You know, I'm questioning. I think there could be a better way to do this by actually asking, you know, some of our folks, some of the other people, some of the other stakeholders, what would we do?
Well, let me follow up on that, John. John Harris is the president-elect of the Hawaii Association of Realtors. Is there a method of diverting property tax revenue to education that would be acceptable to you?
Well, as was stated earlier, Hawaii is the only state in the union out of 50 that does not use property taxes to fund its schools. And there's a reason for that, because Hawaii is the only state, well, many reasons, but one of them is Hawaii is the only state with a statewide school board. And we don't have local school boards, really, like other states. We're not the only state also. I know this because I come from a long line of teachers, and hopefully they'll still talk to me after this. My sister recently in Arizona, you think they've got some serious problems there. She took retirement because every year that she stayed in her position, and she's nationally board certified, she's not wealthy. She retired because every year her pension was dropping by a few thousand dollars, what her amount would be paid out. And there are major questions and major issues that we all need to really look at. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to finally come all to the table and talk about it instead of focusing on one part of the population that you know, maybe there's a way that we can raise this revenue in a more fair method.
John, you just referred to local school boards, and Nakhil Ananda on the line from Maui has a comment on that. Can you hear me? Nakhil Ananda?
Oh, no, I couldn't hear you. I just heard a noise. Sorry. Okay. There, so I know I got a bit. Thank you very much.
Sure. What's on your mind?
So real quick, we need to institute local county school boards instead of the state-run system. And we need to allow substitute teachers to form a collective bargaining union and or join the HSTA. As your first caller stated, this is a no-brainer. Properties which are not owned by Hawaii residents can pay more in property taxes. Counties need to institute that in a tiered property tax system, or better yet, to possibly phrase it as locals pay less or kama aina rate. And we need to raise benefits and pay for also educational assistance. And lastly, a third of all properties sold on Maui recently are sold to non-residents for cash, and they're turning it into high-end vacational rentals. We don't have apartments on Maui, and I agree we need more affordable housing built, of course. And then this argument by the realtors, because they're just making tons of money, is that we can have exemptions where people are getting negatively impacted. But the schools need more money, Department of Education needs more money, and this would be a legitimate way to do that, getting funding from people that can afford it, that are speculating in Hawaii.
Corey Rosalie from Hawaii State Teachers Association.
Yes, and he's absolutely right. In Maui right now, last year, 50% of all new homes were actually sold to non-residents, 60% of all townhomes. And if you look at the reason why Hawaii is the only state that does not use property taxes, it was done for some of the most racist and discriminatory reasons. At one point, 100 years ago, most of the land was owned by a few wealthy landowners who basically wanted not to pay their, you know, wealth towards what they considered the education of their workers' children. And by ensuring, and they even said this, if you educate them beyond the sixth grade, they become a menace. They were able to keep their wealth and make sure that they didn't educate the plantation workers' children so that they would not have opportunity. And the sad thing is we've perpetuated this for 100 years. And so there's a little bit of cosmic justice in this, that if we're going after wealthy landowners now to pay for our children, maybe that will allow more of our children to go to school and get a good education and to earn high-paying jobs, which should be the focus of our society.
If you're just joining us, we have in studio Corey Rosenlee, president of the Teachers Association, John Harris, president-elect of the Hawaii Association of Realtors, and by phone is Tom Yamachika, president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. And Tom, I know you're going to leave us in a few minutes, but anything else you want to weigh in on at this juncture?
Well, actually, like I was mentioning earlier, and I think you know, the realtors were mentioning earlier, that the devil really is in the details. You give power to the legislature to do this. You don't know how that power is going to be exercised. I know, you know, Corey said he was going to, you know, fight for, you know, no surcharge on owner occupants, no surcharge on properties under $1 million. Well, you know, what assurance is there that that's actually going to happen? The last year, when there actually was a bill to implement this constitutional amendment, you know, which was introduced in similar form last year, the threshold was $500,000. So any property $500,000 or more could possibly get surcharged. And, you know, the constitutional amendment has no limits. There's no threshold. It's basically up to the, you know, the good judgment of the legislature, and hopefully they can be held accountable, as Corey suggests. And, you know, I hope that, you know, that can be done.
You're seeing a repeat of the convention center, is what you're saying.
I'm not seeing anything yet, but...
potentially.
But we just need to be careful that that we don't go down the wrong path.
And so in the actual constitutional amendment, in the committee report, it specifically talks about houses, second homes, over $1 million. I don't want to do that because the same thing is, I mean, the concerns that you brought up, we know how difficult it is to afford housing in Hawaii. Our teachers are having difficulty affording housing. I mean, there's just a report came out last night that says that, you know, teachers, beginning teachers in Hawaii are considered low income and qualify for affordable housing. I think that, you know, and I encourage Tom to walk hand in hand with HSTA next year. I know the legislators we've talked to, they specifically are targeting these high-end investors. That's what we're going for.
Right, and I think the report you were talking about is a updated review of the average median income, which went up like 10%, and it was like, whoa, I guess, you know, a lot of us are poor.
Teachers are now considered low income. I mean, you know, and that's just single. I mean, well, a beginning teacher is considered low income in Hawaii.
One of the things that I really want to ask is, look, you know, of the $2 billion that's going to the Department of Education now, you know, from our general fund, you know, why are the teachers being so, you know, so badly underpaid, you know, given the amount of money that's now going to the Department of Education?
There's a caller on the line.
That's something that should be looked at.
If I could answer that question, though, just real quickly. So, again, you have to look at per pupil, and that's about $12,000 per pupil. And the reality is in Hawaii schools, we have to take everyone. And some of our special education students are extremely expensive. They cost $30,000, $50,000. So we only spend about $9,000 per pupil. We spend about $6,000 per pupil less than mainland that are similar to mainland. And at Punahou, they spend $30,000. So, you know, they spend three times as much for those students as they do for public school students. We are living close to the bone. And if you've been in the schools and you see teachers are buying our own supplies, our desks are broken, the reality is there is not enough money to go around. And we are not spending a lot. And this statistic is we spend the least percentage of both state and local revenue compared to any other state in the entire country when it comes to education.
There's a caller on the line, Kathy from Honolulu. Kathy.
Yes, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I want to thank all your panelists. There's been it's a cogent comments. And I thank Corey. He is trying his best to fund the teachers. And I don't think there's any local people here, whether their kids went to private school or public school, that don't support the teachers. We sure do. And I have been involved in workforce housing for well over 40 years. And so I think there's some unintended consequences. And just briefly, I'll say that there's, as long as I can remember, many, many years, there's been a disconnect between what's provided to the classroom resources and the top-heavy administrators that are have, you know, high salaries. That's number one. Number two is I'm really, really concerned about the unintended consequence of just throwing out $1 million for a second home or an investment property. And I'll tell you why. And that's complicated, but just the highlights. So many of our developments, whether they're high-rise or townhouses or single-family, have been financed essentially because they were pre-sales of investors. And so even though they may have profited initially, many of those things are still in a rental pool after many, many years. And I know that because over 90% of all businesses in Hawaii are small business. So many of small businesses, including our family, have helped finance our retirements through investment properties. And that's not to say we're greedy or anything, because they're still in the rental pool. I am very much supportive of out-of-state investors helping to contribute to the classroom, to our sewers, to our roads, because I don't believe any foreign investor that comes in and buys a couple million-dollar condominium will buy it or not buy it because of the property taxes. If you,
Kathy, thanks for weighing in.
Oh, well, we do want to thank Tom. I understand you have to give a noontime speech, and so we'll be losing you. We certainly do appreciate you spending time with us.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be on the show. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Tom Young, I'm Chika, president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. We are in the studio with Corey Rosenlee, president of the Hawaii State Teachers Association, and John Harris, president-elect of the Hawaii Association of Realtors, talking about funding for public education in Hawaii.
And, you know, I know there was a time when the shortage was really for special ed. Special ed has been a chronic area, and we were flush on early ed, but that's not the case anymore.
No, we have a shortage now in every single part of the profession. I never thought I'd see the day. It used to be elementary education, we'd always have teachers, but now we don't. And so we've seen a continued drop. Every single year there's more resignations, there's less students going into the profession. And we've gotten to a dangerous situation right now. And I beg everyone, how bad does it have to get before we have to say we have to do something? I mean, when we were at 500 shortage, was it then? And now we've doubled that to 1,000? I mean, is it going to take another 1,000 teachers to not be in our classrooms? But when we say this is just bad for our future. And so I know that when I see the classrooms and I meet these teachers and how much more of a burden they're taking on because they don't have enough teachers, that it's got to be something that's urgent for our society, says that we've got to do something now. And so this is really a win-win situation. It helps people afford housing, and it deals with the situation to make sure that our Keiki have an education.
Corey, is this the only something that's out there? Is there a viable alternative?
So that's the thing, is that there isn't. I mean, people are going to say, well, we should do this or do that. There's not a multiple choice on this ballot question.
Yeah.
If we don't do this, it's and this has taken a tremendous amount of effort. For too long, we've underfunded our schools. And it has not been easy to get this on the ballot. I was really happy, though, that every single legislator except one voted to allow the people to vote. And I think that they understand the urgency and the need to improve our schools. And, you know, this will be the first time in Hawaii's history where the people of Hawaii will have a chance to say, look, we want to improve funding for our keiki. And so I really hope that people will come out. Don't ignore this. This will be on the November ballot. And to make a statement saying, look, we've got to do something here to improve our schools.
If I could be cynical, this is also an election year. And, you know, everybody can say, hey, we voted for education. You know, we've seen the bills come through about, oh, let's allow gambling and put the money toward education. And that didn't fly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I can be cynical, it's an election year. It's apple pie. You know, we love our teachers. We love our schools. And then it's like, okay, and are we going to see maybe more campaign contributions going toward teachers, you know, down the road, let's say from the Realtors Association or whoever who wants to influence the process going forward, you know, when they get to the details of actually potentially crafting a bill?
Let's talk about that one loan. We kind of know what it's like to be singled out. State Senator Gil Rivera was the one that voted both in the Senate and then the latest vote against it. His wife is a teacher, so that's going to probably be an uncomfortable conversation. But the reason he did was because he looked at the policy in the bill. I'm not misquoting him, he says creative, a good idea, but ultimately bad policy. We are all, I'm sure he's aligned with the teachers, as I've said we are, as I think every caller who's called in today is. I don't think this is the only thing out there. I think this is, it's not a not something built on longevity. It's perhaps maybe a Band-Aid. And why can't we take a look at what was done 100 years ago for good reason? Maybe time to revisit. You know, I know that takes time, but something like this is not going to fix everything overnight either.
There was a time when we saw the enormous backlog in repairs that we needed to deal with, and there was all the concern about that. And at that time, they were talking up the gambling bills, you know, as a way to solve this problem. You know, we had the roof fall in at the Farrington Auditorium.
Yeah.
We had the ceiling tiles come down on kids in at Kailua Intermediate. You know, we lived through those things, and that's out there. But now we've got the shortage. You've got the difficulty of retaining good teachers. And again, the question is this the proper policy to enact in order to deal with these big problems?
So, you know, I want to talk about Senator Rivera's vote, because he said, you know, on the floor, he said, maybe we should do the GET instead. 2 years ago, Senator Rivera was the only one to vote against the GET as well. So, you know, it's hypocrisy to talk about that. He basically says we don't want to raise any taxes for education. And that's the problem is that we've had these problems for decades and the politicians haven't done it. And I just want to answer, because I always hear all these answers. Why don't we do a lottery? Why don't we do gambling? A lottery would tax the bottom 20%, 50% of it comes from it, and only bring about $80 million in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a progressive tax. It is going for the most wealthy in our society. And instead of taxing the poor, I mean, in states that have done things like lotteries, and what has happened is those same kids that are the ones that are attending the public schools now come to schools without, you know, the proper clothing or the food because lottery tickets and stuff like this. So we're going after billionaires and corporations that is treating Hawaii as a monopoly game in order to be able to pay for, you know, the most needy in our society. And the statistic is right now that over half of the students that go now to Hawaii's public schools are on free and reduced lunch. That is how bad it's gotten. So, I mean, this is, I think, like I say, a win-win.
Well, let's not forget who's living in these investment properties. The exceptions, and I agree with you, there are a lot of, my office is in Kaka'ako, so when I'm there at night, I look out. There aren't a lot of lights on in some of those buildings. But that's the exception. I mean, if you look at throughout Oahu, yeah, Maui had 60%. You said townhomes were purchased last year by outside, you know, non-residents. There are a lot of resident families who own property here, or non-resident families that own property, or you know, entities, investors. They have people living in there who are residents, and they are going to pass on anything like this in the form of higher rents, unless, you know, I'm mistaken about human nature.
We do have some comments coming in from our website. Stacy writes in, she supports and suggests the increased property tax on foreign owners, private owners who own a property but do not reside in them, and as well as businesses that own more than one property. And John, I don't know if you're familiar, but I know I think in Canada they just passed a speculator tax. And some say, well, that's backfiring. It, you know, there was the intent, obviously, to keep, you know, properties for the residents, the local residents, and somehow that's not quite working out the way they hoped.
Catherine, we've got a caller on the line on that very subject, Baron from Maui. Baron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you were talking about, Catherine just referred to speculation, and that you were going to address that.
Yes, I was. The idea I wanted to put out there was this idea that you can have rules around occupancy. So I think, you know, we're talking about two issues here, which are both very important, which is the rising cost of housing as well as the dwindling resources for education. And, you know, if we just kind of separate them for a second and look at the rising cost of housing, I think on that front, you know, if we talk about speculation specifically, occupancy rules have been, you know, something that's been done where, you know, you basically have, homes that are not being occupied progressively taxed, you know, taxed higher and higher. So I was just wondering if we can get a breakdown of the speculative properties. Are they being rented out or are they being just kept empty? And, you know, occupancy rules also sort of force investors to have locals occupy the places. And, you know, that could mean, you know, lower rents for people as well. So just wanted to bring that up.
John, you're a realtor. Do you have numbers on that?
Not off the top of my head.
I do. So according to the Hawaii Appleseed that just did a report on this, and they asked non-residents that are renting, who are they renting to? Over half were non-residents, about 25% they couldn't identify, and less than 20% were residents of Hawaii.
One thing that needs to be said in this entire discussion is that I don't think anyone has said that the current funding for Hawaii education is all right, right? That's one thing on which we are agreed. Something needs to be done. The discussion is really about what that something is, if I understand it correctly.
But I want to reiterate, this constitutional amendment is not multiple choice. If people vote no, you don't get something else. This is it. If we don't do it, I don't know if we'll ever find a way. This has not been easy. And so the question is, are we going to do something? And if people believe we need to fund education, then they have to vote yes on this constitutional amendment.
And are you folks going to plan a campaign leading up to this? Because we really don't have a lot of time. This
is like
November.
We really do. And we got to go out there and educate the people and say, look, our schools need funding. Our keiki need funding. This is a source of revenue that is used everywhere else. And this, because Hawaii has the lowest property tax rate in the country, this is not only just hurting why our schools don't have funding, but this is also driving up the cost of living for all of us.
This would be a very good time to hear from a teacher. And Lisa from Maui is on the line. Lisa?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in because I'm actually on my lunch break right now.
All right.
Even though I still have students in my room because that's how it is with a teacher. But I wanted to voice my support for the constitutional amendment because I do think it's absolutely necessary. And even though I know people are saying that they're aligned with teachers and they really support them, there's no way that you can say you are and not support money that's needed in our schools. I'm also a homeowner on Maui. And I have two children here who will be going through the public school system. And Mr. Rosenlee is absolutely right. If we don't pass this now, then my children, who are about ready to go through the system, are never going to benefit from it. It takes years to get this vehicle put in place and to start seeing the benefits, and we don't have time. We're losing teachers like crazy.
Just hearing that you're a teacher and a homeowner, how do you manage to be a homeowner as a teacher?
Well, it just so happens that my husband and I bought during the depths of the recession in 2010 when housing was extremely low. And because I happen to have also a gift from my husband's family, but it certainly was not my teaching salary.
That's why you better marry well, okay?
That's exactly why I asked, because it's being a teacher and a homeowner, you don't often hear that, right?
And
that's absolutely right. I'm in a very good position. I really feel for some of my colleagues who live paycheck to paycheck, hardly being able to afford rent. And it's just sad that we don't put our money where we say we value it. Teachers are so important. I think the students in my room right now would say so too, but I won't let them get on. So I really hope that the voters this November will see that.
And we should also point out, I think, that we saw with the teacher strike, there are some families where both the husband and wife were teachers, both spouses. So two poor teachers.
One of the hardest parts of my job is every single year HSA has this $1,000 loan thing to help teachers when they come, whenever teachers need funding. And it's sad that I have to read these each year. And every single year, I get teachers that say, I am homeless. I am living in my car. I desperately need this money. And what does it say about our society when our teachers who are, helping our keiki have to live in a car or on the beach just to be able to, become teachers? And the sacrifice we should not have to ask them to make. And, look what's going on across the entire country right now. West Virginia, Oklahoma, Arizona this week. The teachers are having to go on strike to just ask for the basics. Simple, be able to do this one. As one teacher I asked, I said, look, if we were able to increase salary, would you quit your second job? And she goes, no, but I quit my third one.
No.
Okay.
Let's bring in we're running out of time, but there's one more teacher on the line. Vicki from Eva Beach.
Yes, hello. Thank you.
Hi, Vicki.
I was calling in. I do have family in Colorado, and I have a small condominium there. It's worth $68,000. It's a tiny place. But it is an investment property. It's considered investment. And as such, in Colorado, I am taxed at 50% of my property tax goes to education. So every state is going to have different ways to come up with this solution. But currently, Hawaii not taxing any of our property for education, let alone these larger investment properties, I think is really doing a disservice overall. Teachers have been dumped in our pay raises for 9 years before we were able to get Mr. Rosenlee in and negotiate it where we're at now. There are ways to support the students. Our students are coming here. They need us. They need to be assured that the supplies there are going to be available. We're buying it out of our own pockets to support our students. But many of them don't have the wherewithal to have the uniforms, to have particular highlighters, markers, et cetera, that are required as they're going through the variety of classes to prepare for college and career. We do need the public support. And I appreciate the opportunity for you to let us share on some of the ideas that could be implemented here in our state.
John Harris is president-elect of the Hawaii Association of Realtors, and I'm concerned that we've sort of weighed a lot of the arguments, putting you in a difficult position as if you opposed more funding for education, which you don't. But how do you respond to some of the things we've been hearing?
I think that's an interesting way that one state and other states, I'm sure, have approached the challenge of how to have better schools, pay their teachers a living and the wage that they really deserve. I very much care about teachers. I'm the one person in the family that didn't become a teacher. I'm probably a big disappointment. But, you know, that being said, there, I don't think that this, and we don't feel like this is the only option. It's either there's, we say yes on the ballot, or that's it. What about taking a look at other states? 49 other states have local school boards. Can we look at, that's going to take time, I understand. I think that something like this is going to be caught up in legal wrangling as well. It's a quagmire of potential litigation. Why not bring everybody to the table to discuss solutions? I'm sure, as we had talked about before, I'm sure that many of our members are related to or married to or have relatives who are teachers, have friends that are teachers, and they care about them. Let's be together and not be opposed on supporting teachers.
I can see how the lawmakers voted on this, thinking we're in a housing crisis, we have a teaching crisis, this might be the answer. So we'll just have to watch and see. We would like to thank our guests, John Harris, the incoming president of the Realtors Association, as well as HSDA President Corey Rosenlee, and Tom Yamachika, the president of the Tax Foundation.
And we especially thank our listeners who called in and weighed in on this subject. If your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, you can still contact our talkback line, leaving your comments at this number, 808-792-8217.
You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation Podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz.
And I'm Chris Vandercook. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.